Once again, I'm always amazed how God works the services all together with the theme, with the just that reminder of promises. The promise that we have in him is just absolutely awesome. Father God, I just pray that as we come now to look at your word, that you will truly speak through me. God, that it won't be my own words, but that it will be you. And God, I pray that you will just speak to all of our hearts with this message that is just so true. So God, I just give you this time in your name. Amen. So if you've been carrying on in our readings, we've hit the Christmas story. Trudy was, what's the topic this week? And I was like, Mary's song. And she comes in, she said, it all looks Christmassy for the cover of the bulletin. So we could have maybe put a Christmas tree up and had a little bit more of a festive feel this morning, but maybe we should have sung some Christmas songs. There we go, darn. Anyway, next week, birth of Jesus, so we're there. Anyway, so we're in Luke 1 this morning. If you've been carrying on your readings, we're going to read Luke 1 starting at verse 26 and going through to verse 38. In the next month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel said, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And he will be called, so the baby will be born, will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. Now, I'm sure for most of you, like me, this is a very familiar story that we have grown up hearing. Nothing was new to it in me as I read the readings this week. And I was like, okay, God, what do we have for this? You know, Christmas every year, to be honest, for preachers is hard. Because it's the same few passages, right? And how do you put a fresh spin on the same old story? And so Christmas is quite hard. So I'm like, okay, God, we're in Christmas now. We're in that celebration time of the birth of your son. How are we going to go about doing this? What is it going to be? And as I was reading this, I stopped and I couldn't continue at Mary's respondedness in verse 38. "I am the Lord's servant." And as I was reading and I stopped and I just thought, wow, that's it. And that's why this is the living, breathing word of God, because no matter how many times you read it, something new comes out to you. "I am the Lord's servant." Now, Mary is a young Jewish girl, young, like far younger than any of us would think of engaging our daughters to get married, especially now that I've got a daughter. I'm worried about the 14-year-old driving, okay? So this is a 14-year-old being betrothed to get married. She is young. And here she is in her house. We don't fully know where exactly the angel appeared to her, but an angel of the Lord appeared to her. My 14-year-old self would be scared out of my mind to be engaged, to start with, to have an angel appear to me, and then to have an angel say to me that I am going to have a baby, even though I haven't been married yet. Mary had all of this happen to her. She was young. She was just in this wedding planning stage. And here this angel comes, and her emotions, I imagine, is as they you know, confused and disturbed, fear, unbelief. What on earth is going on? What is happening? You can't be real. But she has a conversation with this angel. She allows him to speak to her. And this is just the flooring point to me, is her response isn't, yeah, right. Are you out of your mind? No, you've got the wrong person. No, 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 I'm not doing that. Her response is, I am the Lord's servant. May everything that you have said come true. What wisdom in this young Jewish girl from a non-desirable place of Nazareth. Absolutely incredible. She was a believer. She was a God-fearer. She was waiting on the promise of the coming Messiah. And then the angel says, it's going to be through you that he comes. Wow. Wow. We have a show in the UK called I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. I Googled it. I don't know if it translates, but anyway. It's their tagline is, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here, right? So if you don't like what's going on, you can be whisked away. My response, I am sad to say, would probably be, get me out of here. I am not doing this. This is far too much. I can't put up with the drama that's going to be coming from this. What are my parents going to say? What's Joseph going to say? What are the village going to say? I mean, this is a village and things, you know, spread. We've lived in a village. Everybody knows everybody's business. What are people going to say? I can't live with the rumors. I can't live with walking down the street and have everybody look down on me because they think I've done something that I've not done, because they're not going to believe that the baby that's inside of me is actually the Son of God. This is just crazy. I don't want to do this. I am the Lord's servant. May everything that you have said about me come true. Just before Mary responds to this, after the angel has been telling her all of the things that are going to happen, including with Elizabeth, which is an incredible miracle on its own, for nothing is impossible with God. If you've been carrying on in your readings, we finished 2 Corinthians. And I love the end of 2 Corinthians. I was a bit torn of where to go, but then I'm like, actually, it all fits together. It's beautiful how the Bible does that, isn't it? It all just fits together because it's all God's story. In the end of 2 Corinthians, Paul is boasting in his weaknesses. He's saying, I could boast about all these other things, but they mean nothing. It's the fact that I am who I am in my weaknesses that Christ has been able to use me to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. He's saying it's your weaknesses that God can use. It's not our strengths. And then here we have Mary from the dump of Nazareth in Israel. In her weaknesses, an unwed young Jewish girl allowing God to use her in an incredible way. God uses our weaknesses to do wonders, to turn the impossible possible. All we have to do is say yes. And this was the challenge to me as I was reading it, and I just got floored with, I am the Lord's servant. What would my response be if God asked me to do something completely crazy and insane, which is what he's asking of Mary? Something so radical, so out there, that everybody would kind of go, what are you doing? Would my response be, I'm the Lord's servant. May everything that you said about me come true. I would like to think, yes, I would say that. But part of me hesitates in being bold in saying that because I know that there are times when God has asked me to do things that I've hesitated, that I've not said yes right away because it's a little bit crazy. It's a little bit out of my comfort zone. I don't want to do it because what are they going to think if I ask them that? But you know when you have that prompting of the Holy Spirit in you and you know when you've gone against it? Mary goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And I love the reaction of Elizabeth, the baby inside her, of leaping for joy at the presence of Mary, that confirmation that, okay, Mary, what I said to you is going to come true. Even the baby in the womb has recognized the Messiah in you and the opportunity. And I love her song. And I thought it's so beautiful with the songs we sang this morning as well, because it fits so perfectly. Mary's song, starting in verse 46, she responded once she met Elizabeth. Oh, how my soul praises the Lord. How my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he took notice of this lowly servant girl, boasting in your weaknesses. For from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one is holy, and he has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and the haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful, for he has made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever. Again, what wisdom in such a young girl. A song of praise flows from her lips. A song of praise as she begins this journey that is going to be very difficult for her. And I'm sure that that was playing in her mind. It couldn't have not been. I know especially those early stages of pregnancy, you know, and it's constant. And then when you have the situations around you in your pregnancy, you're going to just constantly be playing it in your mind and playing it in your mind. But instead of dreading it, she's holding on to the promises of God. She's standing firm in her faith, saying, I know that this is good. He's using me as humble and lowly as I am in order to glorify his name. Not to glorify me, not to bring me honor, but to bring him honor, to redeem our people. He's using me in this incredible story of redemption for my entire nation and ultimately the world. A young girl understanding that God owes her nothing, but because of his grace, because of his mercy, she owes him everything. Grace is proclaimed in this song, pointing us all to the one who saves us, a God who loves us, a God who is faithful to us, who calls us, a God who is so loyal to his people that even when they mess up, he still brings them back to himself with a steadfast love that never changes. God keeps his word. And now Mary's role in the great, great redemption love story has begun, and all because she said, yes, I am the Lord's servant. May everything that you have said to me come true. Now, you might be sitting here thinking, as I kind of did this week, okay, that's great. That's an incredible response from Mary. But how does that affect our lives today? What do we do with that? You know, God doesn't need to send another Savior. He sent Jesus, the ultimate. We don't need another one. So he's not going to call any of us to immaculate conceptions. You might be thankful for that. I am. Right? So we won't be expecting that, because that has happened. But each and every one of us, God has something for us that's going to push us out of our comfort zone, that's going to push us into an area of our city, our area of our community, area of our world that isn't comfortable, that isn't, you know, it's not what we, I like doing that because it's safe. God's got a challenge for each and every one of us. And what we can learn from Mary is her response. Of not going, oh God, you've got the wrong person. Nope. That's too much for me. No way. No. Or, get me out of here. Right? We've got to learn from Mary's response. Sacrifice. I am the Lord's servant. May everything that you have said about me come true. You see, we live in a world that although the Savior has come, many still do not know his name. We live in a world where there's hurt and there's brokenness, there's hunger, there's pain. And when we look to Jesus in his life and his ministry here on earth, we see him eating with people who nobody else would want to associate with. We see him touching people who would not be allowed within 10 feet of anybody else because of the disease on their skin. Jesus broke down all of these social barriers. And so the challenge for us this morning is to do the same. Because when we believe in Jesus, if we believe in the Jesus of the Bible, we can't just sit comfortably. Jesus didn't sit comfortably. Oh, look, we're in the club and it's great. It's fantastic. Oh, we get to sing our favorite songs and we get to pat each other on the back and don't hug me on the front because that's a little bit, it's a little side hug. You know, all these little things, these little comfort zones that we put around ourselves. But Jesus in the Bible was not comfortable. And when we read him, I don't know about you, but I get uncomfortable because I'm challenged that my life doesn't reflect Jesus in everything that I do. Right outside that door, if we were to open that door right there, we would see lower income housing that is full of immigrants, many whom are Muslim, Arabic speakers, outside of this door. We don't have to go to the Middle East to minister the gospel of Christ. We have to walk across a green field. It's that easy. It's that uncomfortable. They're there. Right there. You go outside that door. You've got a hospital across the way full of people who are hurting, ill, need a touch, need a visit. You don't have to drive down to the U of A, another great place. You don't have to go miles and miles and miles. You walk across the street. It's there. And it's uncomfortable. What will they say when I knock on their door? What will they say? Can I talk about Jesus with them? How about befriending? Start there. Just slightly that way. There are a number of families who are struggling to put food on their tables for their kids. Maybe God's calling us to take the bread there and help them feed their families with physical bread so that we can begin to build a relationship out of our comfort zone because they're not people like us. They don't fit in our pretty little lives and our pretty little boxes. They're different, but that's okay because God calls us to go to the different. He calls us to go to each and every person because Jesus died for each and every person who lives in these houses behind here, for each and every person who calls St. Joseph's their home. He's died for each and every one of them. So why should we be privileged to keep Jesus to ourselves? Instead of saying like Mary, I am your servant, may everything that you have called me to become true, which means to go to the lost, to go to those who don't know the name of Jesus, to share our food, to share our wealth, to share the things that God has blessed us with because we recognize then that it's not for us, but it's for his kingdom. And suddenly we become much bigger thinking than the confines of this building here and our comfort zones. But it requires us to step out in faith, like Mary did, to say, God, no matter what you have called me to, I will follow. No matter how uncomfortable it is, give me strength and walk with me because I'm standing on your promises that tell me that you are with me and that you are guiding me and leading me and you are going to go every step of the way. And in fact, you might already be speaking to that person's heart and all they need is for me to knock on their door and to say, hey, we've got some leftover bread from the bread run today, and we're just passing it around because we want to share God's love with you. Conversations can start like that. You might get the door slammed in your face. That's part of the uncomfortableness. Not everybody's open to it. But that doesn't say that God doesn't call us to go. Doesn't call us to still try. Because every person on this earth deserves the opportunity to know about Jesus. And if we love him like we say we love him, it better hurt our hearts that they don't know about him. I went home on Friday after working through this sermon, and I said to Johnny, I said, well, I think Sunday's for us, because I think we've become a little bit too comfortable. And I said, I think we need to rustle this up a bit to help us to continue to step out, to break down those barriers that are so easily built up because it's easy to be comfortable. It's easy to be safe. Oh, but I've got to protect my kids. Oh, but we've got to do this. Oh, but it doesn't fit into our schedule and stuff. Well, make it not. Right? Make it not. We were grumbling going down to camp this week a little bit. kind of, because we had a call to ask if we could stop in Red Deer and pick up a child to take with us whose mom didn't have a vehicle to get her to camp. And if we couldn't do it, this child wasn't going to camp. This is how we realized we were too comfortable, because there was grumbling with the fact we had to get off the two with our tent trailer towed behind us and go into Red Deer, which we've never driven into, miss the place where we were supposed to drop her back off because there was no parking, and have to find and then walk and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, oh, it kind of took a little bit of time out. Our kids are grumpy, blah, 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 blah. And then we got back in the car, and I just was like, Johnny, this is what we have to do. How have we lost this, that we can even complain by the fact that we were able to give that child from an incredibly broken home the opportunity to go to camp because we stepped out of our way for 15 minutes? How have we lost the fact that that's what we used to do? I said, we're too comfortable. This message is for us. We've got to challenge ourselves. We are not in this community enough. We've got to keep going out. We've got to keep trying. It might not work one day, but the next week it might. And we've got to keep going, keep going. God never says it's going to be easy. Mary did not have an easy time once she said, I'm your servant, do what you want to do in me. Ah, smooth sailing now. No, she had to tell Joseph, and thankfully the angel appeared to him too, because otherwise I don't think it would have ended as happily. But they had to deal with the whole village. She had to ride on a donkey. Well, she probably didn't ride the donkey. That's kind of one of those mishaps. But she had to travel and give birth in a different location just to fulfill a prophecy and not have her family around to help her and the midwives and all the medical stuff we've got now. Life did not get easy as soon as she said yes. But once we say yes and hold on to the promises, God will never leave us or forsake us. He will always be with us. And then the desire then is for us to, like Mary, instead of grumbling and complaining our way through life of going, well, I wish God would give me a little bit more so then I could share more because then I'd have more for myself. And, you know, all these little grumbles that we so quickly go to because it's easy to get caught in our bubble and in our little good, safe place. Instead, we'd sing like Mary, isn't God incredible? Isn't he so faithful to hold on to his promises that his love never ends, and that even when I'm at the end of my tether, he gives me the grace to go a little bit farther? Even when our bank account is empty and yet we still feel compelled to give, he doesn't let us go without. Even when, whatever it might be, God remains faithful. And when we say yes to him and become a part of his kingdom picture, the big picture of every man, woman, and child on earth being able to know of the saving grace of Jesus, it makes it all worth it. All of it. All of the hard times, all of the struggles, to see even one person acknowledge him as Lord is worth it. Because every single person should have the opportunity to hear about him. Not just the select few, but everyone. We're going to close with a song that I shared about, I think, last week, called the Revelation Song. And we sang it at General Assembly, and we sang it in about 25 languages. Again, look it up on YouTube. It is fantastic. But we're going to close in one language, because that's... We do speak a few more than just one language, but, you know, we'll struggle with that. So we'll sing it in one language. But it's the song that glorifies God. It's not about us. It is about him. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. That is the truth that we hold on to. That is the truth that the people who live behind us here in these condos and in these houses and in these hospitals and in these senior homes and in wherever we might be deserve to know. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come, because his promises, his love, his salvation never fails. I want to leave us this morning with Paul's final greetings to the church in Thessalonica. Now may the grace of peace make you holy in every way, And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God will make this happen, for he who calls you is faithful. Father God, we just thank you for your servant Mary. We thank you for her humility and her wisdom in such a young age to teach us that, God, when we say yes to you, no matter what you call us to do, you are faithful and you will be with us and give us the strength to do it, as crazy as it may be. So God, I just pray for a rocking in our hearts today, a stirring out of our comfort zones, into our local community, into our communities where we live, into our workplaces, conversations, God, that might be able to happen because we are attuned to you and your desire for all men and women to know about your Son, Jesus Christ. God, give us such a passion and desire in our hearts to say yes to you and allow you to lead us into radical places. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for our time of filling. And we pray now that you will send us going, knowing that you are faithful. In your awesome name.